the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damien Collado. Hey, Damien, good morning.
Good morning, young lady.
How are you? How's
I'm
your Thursday
doing great.
So far?
I'm doing great. You getting rain over there already, huh? Or should be.
It was drizzling and thundery, so yeah. You know, that's how it rained a lot yesterday, so I was really excited. Yeah.
It's gonna be like yesterday today. We'll get into that with the weather, but first we always like to start our morning with a prayer. And today being the feast day of Saint John Vianney, this prayer is asking him to intercede in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of Saint John Vianney, grant that your priest will be inspired to strive for holiness by the power of his example. As men of prayer, may they ponder your word, follow your will, and faithfully lead the flock that you have entrusted to their care. Saint John Vianney obtained for the Church an abundance of vocations to the holy priesthood. Through your intercession, may many faithful men hear Christ's call and respond with courage and generosity. Saint John Vianney, patron of parish priest, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area. You'll definitely want to stay tuned for this segment. That'll be in about 8 minutes. Father Michael Champagne joins us as he does every year at this time. He's the spiritual director of the Community of Jesus Crucified. He's also in the Diocese of Lafayette, and he's going to talk about the Fête du Dutèche Eucharistic boat procession. You guys, you can't get any more Cajun South Louisiana than this event. So it's a beautiful event. It is so cool. He's going to give us details about this. David Dawson Jr. joins us in 35 minutes. He's the director of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau and today director of parish support of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau, And today he's going to talk about adoration. So how can we get more involved in maybe Eucharistic adoration? Maybe how has it affected us? How can we get the family involved in adoration? So we're going to talk to Dave about this. And Kristen Van Uden joins us in 48 minutes. She's the author spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and she's going to talk about an upcoming book, quite an interesting title. You know, the words kind of don't make sense, but it's going to be an interesting topic, I think. The Gods of Atheism. So she's going to dive deeper into this topic and this book that you can find at Sophia Institute Press. So great lineup, Damien. It's going to be a great show. Interesting guests as well.
Yes, yes. And I'm looking forward to talking to Father Michael Champagne about the the big event coming up that's going to go down, the Tesh. If you've never participated in that, it's worth at least doing it once. In the meantime, rain and thunderstorms, they came early yesterday. They should be coming early again today. Pretty much the same conditions that we had, 90% chance of rain, and you may see showers and thunderstorms by mid-morning, especially in the Houma-Thibodeau area, Baton Rouge area, and along the Gulf Coast, like Gulfport and Biloxi. Winds are out of the southeast right now. It's 6 miles an hour. High is going to be about 84. Low is going to be 72. Plan for the weekend? 50-50 chance of rain, pretty much like we've been experiencing. Usually a thunderstorm or shower is going to pop up in the afternoon, but it shouldn't last very long. So make your plans accordingly. Highs are going to be in the upper 80s, so it won't be sweltering, but it will be humid. Temperatures in and around our area, everybody pretty much in the mid-70s right now. So get out there, enjoy it, make the most of your day. And we're going to be back in just a moment with some events to share with you, as well as a gospel and reflection. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
A good Thursday to to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
It is significant that Jesus identified Peter as the head of his church at Caesarea Philippi because pagan shrines there represented the Roman Empire's preoccupation with power, sex, and wealth. In response to Jesus' first question, the apostles answered that the people placed Jesus, we might say, in the Hebrew Hall of Fame. But when Jesus asked, "But who do you say that I am?" the Heavenly Father prompted Peter to reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In response, Jesus named Peter, the future head of the church, when he said, "You are Peter," the word Petros, "and on this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." Peter will become the human foundation of the church, but Jesus is the builder that supports the foundation. And then, citing Isaiah 22, Jesus stressed that Peter would hold an office in his kingdom as the chief steward, and in that office, he would give him the absolute authority to make definitive decisions in matters of faith and practice. "I will give you," singular, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This authority to bind and loose is the biblical basis for papal infallibility, because God cannot bind or loose in heaven anything that is false. And the change of Simon's name to Peter, Petros, is also significant because it indicates that Jesus was installing Peter into his new office and task. Matthew, then, gave the feminine Greek word for rock, Petra, a masculine ending, Petros, as is required in Greek grammar for a man's name. Peter exercised his infallible authority at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15 that addressed the issue of circumcision and the obligation to follow the Mosaic law. Peter declared, "We believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." Peter had spoken. The matter was settled, and all the assembly kept silent. The debate was over. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Father Chris. 11 after the hour on a Thursday morning, August 4th, and you're listening to Wake Up. Glad that you're rising and shining on this somewhat going to be gloomy day, but that's okay. We're here to brighten it up for you. And here are some events that may also help along the way. You know, the newly named NOLA Catholic Youth Conference, the Archdiocese has gathered teens formerly known as World Youth Day. Well, it's returning this fall after the pandemic kind of forced closure in 2020 and 2021. Designed around the theme, All Things New, the conference will take place on September 24th. I know that's still a month and a half away, but you got to plan now. It's going to be September 24th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it's at a new location. It's going to be at Jesuit High School on Bank Street in New Orleans. Those in grades 8 through 12 are who attend the a Catholic high school or a parish school of religion or Catholic homeschooling programs, you're invited to attend this all-day conference geared toward enriching your faith and addressing the faith challenges of teenage Catholics. So it's going to give you an opportunity to have a lot of fellowship with your peers from across the Archdiocese. To register and learn a little bit more about information regarding this event, go to cyo-no.org.
Awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, something else that's a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed attending this in the past, is Woman's New Life Clinic Gala for Life. It's happening on Friday, October 7th at Club 44 in Champion Square in New Orleans. 7 to 8 o'clock patron party, and then the gala is 8 to 11. You guys are so much good food. There's a live band. There's a silent auction. Just so many wonderful things to benefit Woman's New Life Clinic. So definitely check that out at womansnewlife.org.
Okay. And if you want to celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary on August 15th, you can from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it's at Our Lady of Hope Retreat Center in Chattawa, Mississippi. We all have been hearing a lot about that place. Well, this event's going to be a big one because there's going to be talks by Dr. Brant Petrie, music and singing by Kitty Cleveland, and personal prayer with Kevin McCall, Mass along with Father Mark Beard, one of our favorites. The cost is $100. It's also going to include lunch. And if you want to learn more and register, go to OurLadyOfHopeMS.com. OurLadyOfHopeMS.com.
Awesome. Well, the Celebrate Life Gala benefiting Crossroad Pregnancy Resource Center in the Houma Thibodeau area will be held Wednesday, September 28th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Nichols State Cotillion Ballroom. There will be food, drinks, music, and a silent auction. For tickets and more information, go to friendsofcrossroadsprc.org and click the events tab. So lots of things happening this fall, particularly in September, Damien. That seems to be the gala time of the year is September, October.
Well, yeah, things are calming down as far as lifestyle. Everybody's in school if you've got families with young kids, and the weather gets a little bit better. So that's always a big help. Yeah. So, all right. Well, don't go away, folks. We are going to learn a little bit more about our saint of the day coming up, and we'll be talking to Father Michael Champagne about a big event taking place in Acadiana. So don't go away. It's 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 4th. Today we celebrate St. John Vianney, also known as the Curé of Ars. John Vianney was a man whose dreams and vision overcame his limitations. From an early age, he wanted to be a priest, but his limited formal schooling did not leave him well-equipped for seminary studies. His failure to comprehend lectures in Latin forced him to discontinue his studies for a time, so he turned to private tutoring. After a lengthy battle with the books, John was ordained. He proved to be a demanding priest, often requiring more of himself than others. John lived an austere life, surviving on little more than potatoes during his early years in parishes. He demonstrated a concern for the poor and helped establish a home for orphaned and homeless girls. As pastor at Ars, he alienated parishioners who didn't appreciate his strictness, including his efforts to close village taverns and his campaign against offensive language. In time, John mellowed and became a popular mentor of souls. His work as a confessor is his most remarkable accomplishment. He died in 1859 and was canonized in 1925. Pope Benedict XVI named John Vianney patron of all priests in 2009. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
And good morning again. Welcome back to Wake Up. Gabby Smith, Damian Collado, and our special guest this morning to kick things off, Father Michael Champagne, Spiritual Director of Community of Jesus Crucified over in Acadiana, especially in particular St. Martinville, Louisiana. And he's here to talk about the big annual event that takes place down the Teche River. It's and I'm not French, so forgive me, but Fête de Teche, something like that. It's Father, help me out with that, and tell us all about the big boat parade that is to really focus on the Eucharist and Mother Mary.
All right, yeah, Damon, good morning, Gabby and Damon. We have the Fête de Teche. Fête de Teche is its eighth annual appearance coming up shortly, less than 2 weeks. August 15th, it's always on the Feast of the Assumption, which is the National Day of Acadians. It's the feast day of the Acadians who arrived here back in 1765, thereabouts, and, mm-hmm. and founded the first church in this area, St. Martin de Tours. And so we kind of reenacted that for the 250th anniversary of the arrival and the arrival of the faith. And it was such a powerful manifestation of faith and conversions that the bishop agreed, and we've been doing it annually since. So we're coming up on August 15th with our boat procession.
Yes, a big boat procession too. Tell everybody a little bit about how it journeys down the Teche River, because it kicks off in Leonville, but it wraps up in St. Martinville.
Right, and that's about 38 miles by boat. And if you add the procession to the landing and from the landing to the church, it's about 40 miles. So mm-hmm. it's a pretty good pilgrimage. We start in at St. Leo the Great with a French Mass at 8 a.m. with Bishop Desitel en Francais. And then we, at the end of Mass, we process to the boat landing there. And we'll have 50 boats in procession, plus the lead boats, incense boat, crucifer, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph boat. So it's just like a foot procession we would have for Corpus Christi. In fact, Fête Dieu is basically the French for, you know, a Corpus Christi procession. And so we'll have two bell boats, and then an incense boat, and then a crucifer boat, and then the Eucharist boat with an altar and adores on the canopy, kind of like a floating church, mm-hmm. and then the Blessed Mother boat, Assumption, and then St. Joseph, and then we'll be followed by 50 boats, and it's about a mile-long procession. And then we'll stop in Orneville at St. Francis Regis. We'll stop in Cecilia at St. Joseph, and then Bro Bridge at St. Bernard, Parks at St. Joseph, and then we'll make our way to Notre Dame de Perpetual Secour, which is near the Evangeline Oak in St. Martinville, and we'll have benediction there, and then foot procession to St. Martin de Tours. We'll have a 21-gun salute and benediction there about 5:30. And then the final leg of the journey to Monte Dolorosa for solemn vespers at 6 p.m. So it's a full day. It's a true feast day, a day of giving glory to God.
It is a full day. And if you don't want to make the trek by boat, and I believe you could do it by car, too. Some people do. Don't they, Father?
Right. Yeah, so Highway 31 is basically Main Street in Leonville, and it's Main Street in St. Martinville. So it's scenic byways of Louisiana. So you can just follow 31 and follow the boat procession, and many people do that. We have probably 500-600 people that are at each stop, and most of them are making all the stops, and they just get in their car and
amazing.
They'll drive to the next stop, have rosary and benediction, and then get a little break, and then make their way to the next stop.
That's the beautiful part. Each, you know, if you can envision it, and it almost does take you back to 200 years ago or so, where each boat, when it comes up to one of the little communities, whether it's Cecilia, Bro Bridge, the people are already there waiting for you to arrive. Wow. And it's just so amazing. And then doing the rosary and the benediction before you take off. How blessed is that on a wonderful day, huh?
It sure is. And then even along the bay, I'm sure 1,000 easy people, because people are build homes along the Teche, so mm-hmm. they build little altars. They have a little altar, a statue of the Blessed Mother or cross, and they're out there. And when the boats approach, they get on their knees and they get a blessing as we pass. So I'm sure we pass up just on the bayou banks between the stops, I'm sure over 1,000 people.
Along the way.
A true moving manifestation. You have that real presence of Jesus with us.
Exactly. And this year is a little bit of a different twist, being the year of the Eucharist revival. You're asking each boat participant to do something special if they can.
Sure. So this year, what we're doing is the bishop's letter on the mystery of the Eucharist in the life of the church came out to kind of kick off this 3-year Renaissance Eucharistique, as we call it, the Eucharistic Revival, and they mentioned Eucharistic witnesses. So we chose 50 saints. All saints are characterized by the Eucharist, but many are wrote about it, died while celebrating the Eucharist or preserving the Eucharist. So we chose 50, and we're asking those who registered votes to choose one from the list, and then to put a banner up and to study the life of that particular saint, like, say, Blessed Carlo Acutis, or maybe St. Thomas Aquinas, who's a big Eucharistic saint, somebody like St. Tarsicius, who died defending the Eucharist, and then to have the children and the family study and pray to that particular saint, and then to reckon. That'll be like their roster on their boat, and put up banners and pictures of the saint. So we're trying to get them going deep into the Eucharist also by the communion of saints.
Is it too late to register if you have a boat and just hearing about it and getting reminded about it? Can they still register?
Not at all. Not at all. If they go to our website, JesusCrucified.net, JesusCrucified.net, there is a prompt they can register their boat. I would say we probably have about 25 to 30 boats registered. We still need about 20 to 25 more. So it's time to do it. And
we'd
love to have you.
Mm-hmm, well,
definitely.
Hopefully after hearing this morning, you'll get those 20 in it within the next hour, because...
hey, now we're talking, Damon.
That's it.
That's my dream.
Well, share with us a little bit about what's going on also within your community of Jesus Crucified. I know there's an adoration tonight, if I'm not mistaken, for your church.
Yeah, we sure do. We've been doing this ever since this kind of a Pennsylvania report back in 2018. With pre-scandals, you know, this making public of some documents. So we decided to, the Thursday before First Friday, to do all-night adoration, and we invite the public. And we do three things. We pray for reparation in front of the Blessed Sacrament for sins of the clergy. We pray for victims that were hurt by the church. And we pray for the sanctification, the holiness of the clergy, which is so important. And Curia of Ours, it's a great time to do it today, because what a holy example that we have in the Curie. So we spend the night in adoration, and they can just come as they please. 2 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep, toss and turn, come on over, and we just have silent prayer from 8:30 p.m. Tonight to 6:30 a.m. before Mass tomorrow morning. And we've been doing that for years now. We do that every Thursday before First Friday. So people are always welcome to that.
Yeah, and speaking of Fridays, you're focusing on the Eucharistic saints as well each Friday in the month of August.
Yeah, we're doing a Eucharistic Revival series. We just finished looking at the motu proprios with the extraordinary form Mass, and we looked at Pope Francis's Desiderio Desideravi, his new letter on the Eucharistic awe. And we did that for the month of July. Month of August, we kick it off tomorrow with Eucharistic saints. So we've taken about four of these Eucharistic saints that we're going to have on our boats, and each Friday we're going to do a little insight, getting some interesting facts about these saints, and see what they can do to teach us about how the Eucharist made them saints.
Who will you be highlighting tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night we're going to be highlighting St. Thomas Aquinas, the Curé of Ars, and St. John Paul, and Mother Teresa.
Oh,
so those are four. Some big guns.
Well, yeah, you're kicking it off big time. And where do they go, and what time is it from, start and finish?
Yeah, so it's at it's held at 406 North Main Street in St. Martinville, which is our conference center, and it'll be at 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. And so they can just show up there about 6:30, 7, and it's just it's a free public lecture. And we'll have it live streamed on our Community Jesus Christ Facebook page.
Well, I know you do a lot. And last but not least, why is the boat parade on the Assumption?
Right, because the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, Stella Maris, way back since 1638, King of France, consecrated all of France and provinces, French provinces, to Our Lady of the Assumption. And the popes have done the same. And so our Acadiana flag has a star in that gold, gold star in that white background. And that represents Stella Maris, the Assumption, Our Lady of the Assumption.
I never knew that.
Star of the Sea. Yeah. So the Acadians came, you know, they went to Nova Scotia flying that star, as well as the Acadians arriving in the bayous of Louisiana. And so it's always been on that feast day that we kind of commemorate the arrival. And they brought their Capuchin priest, Father de Souvray, came with them. It was very important for them to have the Eucharist. So when they came by boat, and they came down, they came down the Teche, and they passed right where Leonville, you know, was founded and all. So we kind of reenacting their arrival. And so that's what we did on the 15th.
Awesome.
And we're trying to get a bank holiday. We'd like it to be like kind of like Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Too many people call in sick for work or take vacation on Mardi Gras. So people just shut it down on Mardi Gras. So we'd like to have a true holy day. Holy day means holy day of obligation. We go to Mass.
Yes.
And we don't work. And we'd like to see that happen, at least in the Louisiana area.
Father Michael Champagne, thank you so much for being with us on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. David Dawson Jr. joins us next. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And today he's talking about adoration, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite places to be, especially when I'm in time of just wanting to spend a little more extra time with our Lord. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great. How's everything in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux this morning?
It's good. It's a beautiful morning. Not as hot as it usually is, but I don't think it's going to last us very long.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and we're talking about one of my favorite things, Eucharistic adoration and adoration. So let's dive deeper into this. What tips do you have for us?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that I know, you know, those of us who have families in the house, getting to adoration is usually not very easy. And I'm a huge proponent for praying at home, you know, finding a place in the house and having a time to spend time with the Lord in the house and getting used to knowing His presence in the house. I think that's absolutely vital. However, there's also, there's a difference, and there is a, you know, as human beings, we have five senses. And so to be able to have the physical, you know, the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament right there in front of me where I can see it, there's a reason why the church provides that for us. It's not just because, you know, it's just this cool thing that some people like to do. It's a devotion that, you know, you might have. Like, the Eucharist is not a devotion that you might have. It's Christ present in a sacramental, physical way right there where we can see Him, look at Him, and He's exposed in the monstrance so you could see it. You know, like, there's something there that's extremely important. And so there's a difference. And I think one of them actually informs the other, being like prayer at home helps us to be in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and that being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament helps us to be able to pray at home. So you really can't have one without the other, is what I've been told, and it's also been my experience. I kind of learned that the hard way. One of the things, Father Michael Champagne from the Diocese of Lafayette, one of the things he said, I was here listening to him talk about it, and he said that the people who went to try to go, their paralyzed friend in to see Jesus, and, like, there was no room to get in at the door, they didn't stop right there and say, you know what, it's God, He's everywhere, we'll go ahead and just pray a Divine Mercy chaplet right here, and that'll be good enough. That'll be the same, you know. Like, they went to the roof and tore the shingles off of somebody's house, you know, the whatever, the thatch work, and they dropped Him in from the top to put Him in the presence of Jesus because He was in the middle of the room. And so, like, there's something, too, and especially for us with families at home, it takes a fight to get to the presence. Like, that you would think that, like, okay, I should want to pray, number one, which is, for most of us, is often not the case. And number two, like, it should come naturally. It should be a good time for me to go to adoration. I got to tell you, even when we just had one kid, there's never a good time. Like, there never is. Mm-hmm. I would rather be resting in some other way. And I don't define rest as being with God as much as I should. You know, I've got responsibilities that are 24/7. There's never a good time. So it often feels like if I'm going to be in the presence of Christ, it's a fight. But I got to tell you, that's been something that I was challenged with a long time ago, and it's been something that has over time revealed, like, look, this is very much worth the fight to make time to get there. And a lot of times, you know, depending on, so we've got some strategies as to how to do that. But I think just recognizing that, like, it is going to be a battle, but that battle, just like with those four people getting that paralyzed person in, is very much worth it, and it's not something that can be replaced with something else, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and those parishes that have perpetual adoration where they have someone there every hour. I know my grandfather was telling us, he's 96 now, he no longer goes, but he used to go for years and years and years at 1 a.m. every Tuesday and just sit there, yeah. Which I think to myself, wow, that is amazing. You know, and my mom goes a few times a week right after work. She just goes straight to the Adoration Chapel mm-hmm. because she knows if she goes home, then it's harder to get there and be like, oh, I'll go later.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's one of the challenges is kind of what the enemy is trying to get us to do is to say, no, you don't need to go. You're tired or it's comfier on the couch, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
So making that time to go, I think is important.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, we found that, you know, our desires and our routines, you know, about trying to get there when, you know, after work or something like that, those come and go. Sometimes we're really good with it. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're not. What I found is that if you've got an hour, like if you can sign up for an hour and you're expected to be there and it's a problem if you're not, it's a commitment, then how you feel about it kind of doesn't matter anymore. Because sometimes you're going to be good with mm-hmm. it. Sometimes you're not. Just like any relationship or anybody that you know, family relationships. And sometimes I'm excited about them. Sometimes I'm not. But like, you know, when it's Christmas time, it's like, this is what you got to do. And so this is a once a week, you know, if I've got an hour, then like, I got to be there. So the emotions don't matter as much. And it gives me the excuse to keep working on, because for most of us, we're not good at being in adoration. We don't really know how to mm-hmm. do that well. We feel like we're a disappointment. The expectations are high. The potential for disappointment is high. You know, like it's a tough place to be. And so we know objectively it's a good thing, but for most of us, there's all these underlying questions as to whether this is worth my time and how hard it's going to be to sit there. And so we, you know, we want to try to fill it with all these other things. And so it's tough to overcome those. And so if I've got that time that I'm committed to, then I can work on those things. I can work on, like,
well,
when
Dave,
I'm there, I'm just sitting there distracted the whole time. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's also an hour of quiet, which many of us, and I'm guilty of this, don't know what to do with ourselves. You know, we hear our phone buzzing or our mind goes to some to-do list and I have like 40 tabs open in my brain at one time, a lot of the times during the day. So it's being present, but also talk about the graces of being in adoration and just being in the presence of the monstrance as well is just so powerful and amazing. And one of my favorite parts about being Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cool thing about it, so with any relationship, when you're first getting started or you don't hang out with somebody that much, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of awareness to try to get to where you're actually comfortable being with that person. You don't know what they expect of you. You don't know what to expect of them. You don't know their motivations. The communication is not super clear, so you question all the time. You come away questioning whether it was even worth it. But when you get to know each other, the more you get to know each other, the more time you spend together, you can kind of read each other's mm-hmm. minds. You know, it's a lot easier. It's a lot more comfortable. You want to be there. There's a comfort level. The cool thing about with adoration is the other side of the relationship already knows everything about me and is perfect and has great motivation. I may not necessarily trust that all the time. And that's the hard part is, so I've got to learn to trust. But it's the good news is that, like, even if I'm struggling, even if I sit there distracted the whole time, and I've heard this from multiple people that I trust, that, like, it's like sitting in the sun, like you're going to get a tan. I'm sitting in the presence of Christ. It's going to have an effect on me. Even if I can't feel it or understand it in the moment, it is having an effect on me just by, like, radiation of holiness. And that's not something that we're just making up to make ourselves feel better. It makes a massive difference in us. And we will begin to see that over time, but also over time we'll get to where we are better at getting something, you know, quote unquote, getting something out of it, being in relationship with Jesus who's sitting there silent in the host. That maybe he's not so silent after all. It's just I've got to learn to better understand how he speaks, just like with anybody else. He's not like this mysterious, you know, messing with our head, trying to play these mind games. It's the same with anybody else. We got to learn how the other person communicates. It's just, you know, he's not too keen on small talk, and so we can't use that to kind of buffer. Although sometimes we try. I know when I was first starting, I would bring in this huge stack of books and, you know, chaplets and rosaries and that kind of thing. And I would say that's kind of like spiritual small talk. It's just filling time because we're uncomfortable with each other, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It takes time, yeah.
Well, and just sitting there and having a conversation with him is beautiful and forms a wonderful relationship. David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, where can we go to find out more about you and your work in the diocese?
Yeah, htdiocese.org. That's our website. Our office is the Office of Parish Support. We're doing a lot to help those in parishes who are doing ministry leadership or just kind of want to have some ideas and want to get some things moving. That's our job, is to kind of help parishes, people in parishes, to get stuff moving and have better access to what the parishes have been offering for years. It may not be as accessible as you think. So OPS is what we are for short. But yeah, htdiocese.org, got all our information there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Kristen Van Uden with Sophia Institute Press joins us. We're going to talk about the upcoming book. Quite an interesting title, actually, The Gods of Atheism. Definitely stick around for this interview. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up. It is 48 past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Our next guest, so glad to have her back again, Kristen Van Uden joins us. She is the author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. And today she joins us to talk about an upcoming book called The Gods of Atheism. Kristen, quite an interesting title. Thanks for being with us once again.
Good morning, Gabby. It's good to be back.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about this. The Gods of Atheism, when I first read this title, I was kind of intrigued, and I had to learn more because I think atheism is becoming more and more of a topic in today's culture. So dive deeper into this book.
Sure. So yes, this is quite a different book than the ones I usually talk about on your program. So usually we reprint lots of good devotionals and classic works on the spiritual life and prayer and sort of these universal titles. But this one diagnoses particular problems in the 20th century and beyond. So this is a reprint, but it's a bit more contemporary, so written in the 1980s, and discusses the rise of atheism from the French Revolution onward. So it's very much a historical book, it's a political book, it's theological, and it's a deep dive into some of who the author, Father Michelli, diagnoses as the most dangerous thinkers of our time. And so Nietzsche is a classic one. He was the most famous atheist, probably. He wrote a book called The Antichrist, very much an obvious candidate for somebody who was one of the prime movers of atheism. He discusses the French Revolution and even the Enlightenment itself. We're told often that the Enlightenment was this beacon of hope, and especially as Americans, we take so much of our tradition from the Enlightenment, but really, the Enlightenment contained many dangerous thinkers as well, who especially served to unseat the social kingship of Christ. So all of these themes are explored in this book, which breaks it down by person. So you read a book, or you read a chapter about each subject that he examines, and ultimately the running theme is the same, which is that atheism has taken on, as you say, a new form in the last 150 years or so, and while many heresies have been problems for the church throughout history, the heresy of modernism, which Pope St. Pius X declared as the synthesis of all heresies, has this really nihilistic atheism at its core. And it's definitely a new rendition of many old heresies.
You also talk about how the author over and over talks about how each tenet of atheism doesn't deny the existence of a higher power. It simply replaces the true power with a false power. What is that false power that they're using right now? What are they that they're replacing God with?
Exactly. So you'll notice in having conversations with atheists, especially militant atheists, that they believe in something, and their belief in atheism is almost a religious belief in and of itself, or they believe in science. So often we'll hear today that it's science that they worship in effect, because they treat science as this omnipotent, all-knowing being almost that can never be questioned, must be obeyed. So they treat it as a god, and of course science is from God, but it is not God. So when taken out of its proper context, then it becomes a false idol. So basically, Father Michele argues that it's impossible for man to worship nothing. So if he's not worshiping God through the true church, through the proper means of worship, then he will worship a false idol, whether that be something as abstract as money or as concrete as a literal pagan god. So each of the atheist thinkers has had his own god that he worships and gives his entire being to, whether that be selfishness or the self, as we know, Satan made himself his own god, or some sort of other abstract philosophy. So it's this principle that it's impossible to worship nothing, which is what atheists will always try to convince you that they are doing. But in fact, just by very nature of being made as we are in the image and likeness of God and having the sense of the divine, that human beings always worship something, and we see the destruction that is wrought when they're not properly orienting that worship towards God.
Mm-hmm. The author also touches on how the devil tempts us against the faith and leads us to infidelity and eventually denies the existence of God. This is such, it really makes me sad to even read those words. And it's, Kristen, the more and more time goes on, and I've been watching a lot of new, you know, TV shows that just popped up on streaming platforms, and a lot of the characters now more and more denying the existence of God. God is being brought into the conversation in these shows, and the existence of God is being denied. And it just makes me sad. I don't know if it's being trying to be more inclusive of everyone and everything like that, but it just makes me sad because I can't imagine a relationship without God and the peace that God brings, but that's not the case for everyone.
Right, and it is sad because I was actually discussing this with a friend who is an atheist the other day, and he says that probably about 75% of the atheists that he meets aren't truly militant atheists. They just don't know. So it is very sad to think of this because atheism is the zeitgeist of the time. It is the typical default quote-unquote religion in our Western culture. So many of these people just haven't investigated the truth. They haven't investigated the faith, and that's why they just fall back on atheism or agnosticism, as they call it. So it is very sad to see, because many of these thinkers who made atheism what it is and who were really serving the devil through their evil doctrines, like Karl Marx, for example, have served to prime the culture so that many lost sheep in the fold will get lost, even if they're not themselves true believers in these doctrines of atheism. So that's why I think, as you allude to, evangelization of these people who are in the middle and just not quite sure is so important, because the culture is constantly trying to drag them away from God, and we need to be that voice that brings them to God.
Absolutely. A loving voice and a kind voice as well. Kristen, do you recommend this book for maybe family members who have children who are atheists, or friends, or who do you recommend this book to?
I do. For me, it's very important to understand the historical context of why atheism has such a stranglehold on the culture, and this book definitely provides that. So it's a bit of a heavy hitter. It's somewhat of a challenging read, so you have to buckle up and get ready to learn about all of these figures that you may have not even heard before, but it brings it all into perspective and makes you understand why atheism is the predominant reigning anti-religion today. And I think it is quite important to arm ourselves with knowledge of the enemy to a certain degree, so that when we engage in these conversations with atheists, we have a good founding not only in Catholic apologetics, but also in the origins of atheism, the thinkers who were the generators of it, and why it's so opposed to the faith and the truth.
Wow. Kristen Van Uden, author spokesperson at Sophia Institute Press. She's talking about the upcoming book, The Gods of Atheism. Kristen, is this available to be purchased at Sophia Institute Press website?
Yes, this one was just came into our warehouse. The official release date is August 23rd, but it's available for pre-order now, and we might start shipping soon.
Okay, Kristen, thank you so much for being with us. Looking forward to the next time with you.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Absolutely. Quite an interesting topic, Damian.
Yeah.
So definitely
check
it out.
Very much so, and something we need to be aware of, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, with that being said, and after that topic, I think a prayer of hope is in order. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God of love and mercy, ease my burdens, calm my anxieties, strengthen my faith, and increase my trust and confidence in your caring goodness. Bless me each day with your healing grace, with health in mind and body, and a heart filled with hope and peace. Grant me the courage I need, dear Lord, to face all difficulties, knowing that with your help, miracles happen and lives are restored. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time, talking to the Knights of Columbus with their monthly updates. Scott Smith talks about the consecration to St. Joseph for children and families. Catholic Foodie and Terry Dixon. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.